This episode of the ABZ Football Podcast is sponsored by Siberia Bar and Hotel on Belmont Street, Aberdeen, located only 30 seconds from the nearest bus stop, taking supporters to Pittodrie for free on match days. Siberia is open 7 days a week, all year round. And to get fired in with our exclusive discount code, head to the bar and quote ABZPOD for a £3 pint of Foster's, a £4 pint of Moretti or Dark Fruits, or £5 for a pint of Fierce or Adake. That's any day of the week, including match days. And if you're with the little ones and are looking for a spot of pre or post match lunch, remember, under 18s are welcome in the bar with an adult, so make a day of it at Siberia. Come on, you Reds.
Red slight of foot there. Bakashina! 2-0 to Aberdeen!
It is Madison!
Hello and welcome along to episode 161 of the ABZ Football Podcast. I'm Gary Scott, and joining me this week, as always, is Gavin J. Baxter. Gav, how are you?
And I am, I'm very nervous. I've forgotten what it's like to review a winning Aberdeen performance in the cinch. But yeah, happy to be here.
Well, we're gonna look at that in a minute or two. And Graham, it is, of course, the one and only, the biggest Pizza Hut connoisseur in the Aberdeen area. Graham Steele. Graham, how are you tonight, mate?
Good, thank you.
Good. How did it feel to be rated 3 of 3 when it comes to who the most famous person somebody's met behind Duke and Ross Tokley?
Oh, I think that's about right.
I think it's harsh.
Ross Tokley's definitely more notorious.
Yes, yes. The notorious Steele.
Yeah, that almost worked.
I started that thinking that was going to work, and then it very rapidly went downhill. So let's just very quickly move on from that one. On this week's show, we're going to look back, as Gav says, on a win in the cinch for the Dons at Motherwell. We'll also check in with our loanees and young team, and also the Quines, in what has been a very successful weekend for the club. Not often we get to say that. But before we get on to the Motherwell game, I guess just a quick bit about the week that's just been. As we recorded last Sunday night, we were discussing the fact that there were two options in play following Neil Warnock's departure. One was that everything that the club were saying was all above board and we were indeed imminently about to appoint a new manager. Or two, the whole thing was a complete shit show and we actually weren't. And as it turned out, the latter appeared to be more the case once Monday morning rolled around.
I'm delighted I was sitting down when that statement with Alan Burrow's signature came out. And yes, he basically intimated that we were still at, I think Dave Cormack's statement said advanced stage. Neil Warnock said we were very far down the line. And then Alan Burrow's comes out and says that we've identified some and we haven't begun the interview phase. And in some cases, we haven't even got approval from their clubs to speak to them. So I'd call that very, very preliminary. But yeah, not in the least bit surprised that this was all, whatever you want to call it, Neil Warnock saving face, pretending things were not, pretending it wasn't a case that he's just jacked in, walking away perhaps, as a good Lunos would do. It's very interesting to hear all the kind of rumor innuendo that in this kind of relatively short space of time that we've reportedly identified someone and we could be hearing some news very soon.
Well, again, we'll come on to that in a second or two, I guess. Graham, who do you think has had the better PR week, Kensington Palace or AFC?
Same people, isn't it?
Very good. I mean, Davey's not been photoshopping anything yet, so...
Yet.
There's still time.
Yet.
Yeah. I suppose we just have to wait, but it very much looks like not everyone is on the same page at the club. The comms are slightly contradictory, which makes me think that Warnock should have just shut his mouth when he was going and said something intentionally, or a genuine error that's then panicked people into putting out statements to look like it's all under control. But we'll see what we get.
Maybe Neil Warnock should have known his role and shut his mouth the entire time he was here, but yeah, that's maybe my 2 cents.
That's a bit novel, I think, to be fair. But I guess the club's definition of the word imminently certainly appears to differ from mine, I think it's probably fair to say.
No, I would say that, yeah, identifying targets and, you know, considering approaching their respective clubs is, as I say, extremely preliminary and not advanced, as Davey Cormack would say. But nevertheless, here we are, and the Neil Warnock fiasco is over, and I'm still glad for that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, here we are, Sunday night again. And as you say, Gav, there's some chatter doing the rounds. We've seen a message from somebody who ordinarily had class has been relatively well sourced, is that there could be an announcement as imminent as Tuesday, that somebody has already been through the interview process, been spoken to, and has been given the green light from his or her respective club at this moment in time. And they could start on Tuesday. But then again, when you hear other stories, it's like this could drag on right the way through the international window that's about to come up to us. So I guess here we are again. You know, Peter Leaven's now taking charge for two more games. I think the less said about Wednesday night at Dundee, the better on this episode. I think we're probably all now process that one and calm down about it a little bit, so there's no point in raking over old ground on that one too much. But with a week off now, the club have certainly indicated now on at least two occasions that we will see an appointment during the window, whether that's at the start or whether at the end. Lots of chatter, lots of room right there about who or it may be. For you two gentlemen, is there anyone that is being linked with us that tickles your balls?
Some in a very uncomfortable fashion. You know, the names are always going to be there, and until you see who it is that's got the red scarf aloft. My gut instinct is that if it's someone who's currently working with a club, we're probably not actually going to see them in the seat until the summer.
Unless it's a Scandi.
Potentially, but I mean, what, they're just coming up now to beginning of their season. So even then, I don't know how the Scandinavian like summer leagues work with the World Cup, if they take a break during it or not. So there's maybe an opportunity to get someone in the summer for what would be our preseason. And then if it's any one of the number of free agents, then, I mean, shoot me now.
Graham, which one of the free agents has you with the most amount of fear?
I haven't paid attention to the list, to be honest, because there's not really anyone out there that I can really hand on heart say I think that looks like a good option. I
mean, that wasn't a question, Graham. That wasn't a question. Which one gives?
Well, I'm
you
not
the
answering.
Fear?
I'm choosing to answer my own question.
Oh, okay, well, fair enough.
So I'm just going to wait and see what happens because
you listen to me. So no one out there tickles your fancy, and there's none of them you're like, fuck that, get that right in the bin.
I mean, this is an article last updated on the 14th of March, so I'll just run through some names, and you can just give me a thumbs up if anyone like takes your fancy. So how about Neil Lennon?
The Lurgan lunatic.
Alex Neil? Stephen Robinson? Tony Dock? I mean, someone's taking the piss here because Jim Goodwin's 7-1. Anyway, let's move on.
I thought for a minute Graham's webcam had just frozen there for a second. There's just no movement, nothing at all. Yeah, no, it's going to be interesting to see, I guess, what happens over the next few days. Who knows? Maybe at this rate, we might be back with you again for a mini at some point over the next couple of days, or possibly not. Let's just wait and see. But let's move on to Saturday. Motherwell 0, Aberdeen 1. Saturday, the 16th of March, 2024, at Fir Park Stadium, in the motherfucking cinch. One change from the side who turned in such a desperately poor performance at Dens Park in midweek, with Killian Phillips dropping to the bench. He was replaced by Leighton Clarkson. But it was the Dons who, this is one of the very few times I think I've said this season, who made the brighter start in this game. Hoylett booked in the opening minute for a fairly spectacular dive in the Millwall box. Let's put it that way. Before Devlin got the Dons on the front foot on 6 minutes, feeding Miowski, whose delightful little chip had Kelly beaten all ends up, but the ball drifting just wide. The Dons dominating possession in that early stages, but McKenzie required to pull off an outstanding piece of defending to deny Casey what looked like a certain goal before Devlin was then hoofed in the face by Robert Mugabe from the resulting corner, Devlin requiring to exit the game to be replaced by Jack Millen. Anyway, Dons taking the lead just a minute later after Devlin exited the pitch. McGrath's ball into the box, met by Miowski, whose first-time effort canninged off the post, fell into the path of Clarkson, who did really well to get that old hip over the ball, and he fired home from 14 yards for just his second goal of the campaign. Roos doing well to deny Nicholson as Motherwell broke at pace from a Dons corner on the half-hour mark. Before, out of nowhere, Motherwell appeared to be level in 37 minutes. A corner falling to Miller, whose shot cannoned into the net off of Angus McDonald, but VAR intervening and the goal chopped off for a handball by Thelonious Bear. Milne then with a free header from a corner before Kelly touched over a rasping Miofsky drive as the halftime whistle arrived with the Dons, a goal to the good. A slightly more scrappy second half saw it take nearly 25 minutes for the Dons to threaten McGrath's powerful drive straight onto the cooping of Casey before Roos did well to pull off a double stop from Bear as the home side threatened to pull level. Hoylett and Clarkson off on 81 minutes for Povar and Phillips before Miofsky was withdrawn for Slokler with 2 minutes to go. The Dons, though, seeing this one out eventually, despite Halliday missing an absolute sitter as the game ticked over into injury time. A nerve-shredding couple of minutes as well, as just when you think you've seen it all in our season, Willie Collum blowing for full time before then having to stand there like an absolute tool as a VAR check was taking place for a possible handball by Shinnie in the box. It was looked at, but for once VAR on our side, or maybe twice, I guess we can touch about the disallowed goal later on. The Dons securing a first win and a first clean sheet in the league since the 2nd of January, up to 9th. A much needed 3 points as well, with Ross County beating Hearts in what was probably the surprise result of the weekend. On the data front, possession 50-50 between the sides. Shots 14-14 apiece. Shots on target 5-4 in favour of the home side. Expected goals 1.14 to 1.16, which just probably tells you everything you need to know about how tight this encounter could have been. So, Graham, I'll come to you first. First things first. At this business end of the season, a win is absolutely critical, but with the result that took place in Dingwall on Saturday, even more critical that we put 3 points on the board.
Yeah, that's just what I was going to say. Probably not really much more to say other than that. I mean, we just need to struggle through, find a way, picking up points game by game. And yeah, absolutely massive. It's a bit disappointing that Hearts are so shite, because that would have given us a nice bit of breathing room. But never mind. I guess, like Levin said himself, you know, we can only control and or worry about what we can do. So we've done our bit. And if Ross County, you know, going to pick up the odd points here and there, well, so be it. We just need to, I guess, match or better.
Yeah, that's it, Gav. I've seen some conspiracy theories that Hearts decided that this was a game just to throw, given the fact that that would have obviously put us into a lot of bother had County drawn level. But this was a performance yesterday that was completely odds with the one that happened on Wednesday night. I mean, another just microcosm of our entire campaign this season, just the inconsistency once again from us.
I mean, we've been pretty consistent as of late. Consistently shite, but there's been consistency there, so you can level that at the team as such. Yeah, I mean, it's very easy to take this result and take a perspective of the glass is half empty with Hearts losing to Ross County and, you know, not this win not being able to take us further away from Ross County, but, you know, just imagine what would have happened if we'd lost this game and we're now level on points, staring this final run-in. Thankfully, this win, you know, it drags a few other teams back into the mire with us as well. Hopefully gives us a bit of a platform to kick off and have a good end to the season in the league. And yeah, the performance was very, very good, I thought, on the whole. A lot more football being played, which has been a novel approach from Aberdeen. This is something that Peter Leeman talked about in his post-match, simply taking the approach that we don't have the long ball striker, and the best way to play the game was to play football. And that's the second time I've heard Peter Leeman come up with those kind of sentiments. I remember after Celtic, he talked about speaking to the players at halftime and telling them they're good players, so go on and show it. And yeah, I'm not surprised that when we do that, we turn out to look not a bad team and created numerous chances. Could have had a few more goals if maybe Boyan had his shooting boots on, or a few bits of luck here and there. But the simple fact we're creating chances for Boyan gives me a lot of heart. We know that in time, Boyan, the goals will come. Got no worries about him whatsoever. And yeah, obviously a clean sheet for Aberdeen is like gold dust. So I was as delighted with that as the fact we could win the game.
Leaving made only one change from Wednesday night, Graham, but there's maybe no surprise with that at this moment in time, because it feels as though now there's a very definite group of 11, 12, maybe 13 players who are considered, I think, to be starters at this moment in time, and that's about it.
Yeah, I think that's probably fair. I mean, obviously he'll have been, don't know how much he would have been involved or aware of the sort of data and analysis going back over the last few weeks when, you know, obviously he wasn't involved in the first team set up to the same degree. But I think it's probably the right thing to do, because where we are, it's probably too much to sort of rip it up and start again. You know, if this was a couple of months ago or we're further up the table and he felt something radical was required, you probably got, we get a chance to get away with that. I think at the moment, it's probably just trying to fine tune what we've got rather than taking any outrageous risks in terms of shape and personnel. And, you know, so far, okay, Wednesday night was really disappointing, but he did get the result out of Saturday. And, you know, again, this is where we've all, myself in particular, flip-flopped on. One week the players are great, have got a good result. The next week they're still good, but we haven't performed. And then, you know, a week after that, are they any use? I'm still unsure. Saturday makes me think, again, there's enough there to play our way out of this. But it's having that belief, and it is encouraging that, you know, he sees it as we can get out of this through some actual football rather than some of the pretty brutal tactics, which again is not really a criticism of the tactics as such. It's more those tactics make more sense when, by his admission, you don't have the players to, you know, for them.
I think, like, in possession, I thought we looked pretty decent in the main all game when we had the ball. It was interesting hearing Levin's kind of post-match analysis about things, just that he'd, you know, decided that, you know, we don't have a target man. Try to play a long ball up to Bojan is not the way to do it, which is kind of interesting because you can do sit there and you're a bit like, okay, you have been part of the coaching team though for two managers now who've decided to play that way. How vocal or how recognised were his opinions within those two setups, I guess, is where you get to with that. But defensively, clean sheet's massive. Obviously, it's huge for confidence. I still thought we looked pretty nervy defensively whenever the ball entered our box. But that's maybe to be expected a little bit, given just how the last few weeks have panned out in particular for us.
I think so. I mean, I think the nervousness will creep in, especially when it's 1-0. And we, you know, Sid Midden is obviously still very, very fresh in all the players' minds. And we haven't kept clean sheets at all this least season. And that's as big a part of the reason we haven't been able to win games, get points on the board. And yeah, I tend to agree. I'm happy with the clean sheet, just if it's by hook or by crook. But, you know, you talk about the Halliday chance at the end where he's kind of free in the 6-yard box and it's kind of difficult to fathom how he doesn't finish it. And
well, I can tell you why, because he's fucking terrible.
Yeah, fair point. And even the goal they have, which is then ruled out, you know, it's not brilliant defending by any stretch of the imagination. But like I say, hopefully just a little bit of luck on our side, and it'll give a little bit of confidence to the team as a collective. It's obviously very easy to just target the defensive players, but, you know, as a collective unit, hopefully that means that we can take some confidence and, yeah, be a lot more difficult to score against, because obviously that'll keep us in a much better position.
Maybe on the topic there about getting away with it, let's quickly talk about this just now, Graham. Did we, in your view, get away with one? The goal that Motherwell have chalked off via VAR, in your eyes, is that a handball by Bear in the build-up?
I don't know.
Sorry, because I thought for a minute they had Willie Colum on the line. Sorry.
I've seen so many things given and then not given game to game that it just feels like a lottery. I wouldn't normally say these things even out, and I'm not saying they're going to, but I kind of feel like at the moment, with the way the system is, you win some, you lose some. That's my honest take on it. And it's not down to, is it right or is it wrong? Because that doesn't seem to actually necessarily matter or be checked, because we've all seen some absolutely wild decisions. Not just, wild, you know, for and against us, but across the board. So I'm kind of the opinion that, it went in our favour. We needed it to go in our favour. But I'm pretty sure in the next week or two, you're going to see that not get ruled out.
I guess, Gav, one of the big things that people have talked a lot about VAR this season is the lack of consistency from game to game and how it's being applied and what referees are seeing and what they're deciding to give. That would be the one positive I would give about the decision on Saturday. Well, the big positive was the fact that it didn't amount to a goal conceded, but there was at least a level of consistency being applied from what we saw on Wednesday night, because I don't think there's a huge amount of difference between Bear's handball and McKenzie's handball at Dens Park that allows Dundee for the penalty. So at least they're kind of, there's a level of consistency being applied by the officials at that point.
Yeah, I tend to think that Wednesday with McKenzie, the more and more I look at it, the more I do think it's a handball because of the fact that his arm is in that position because he's making contact with the Dundee player in front of him. And I think Theo Bear has also got his arm kind of in the way to sort of like nudge Jack Mill, I think, is out of the way. And my understanding of the rule is that if the ball hits your hand as the attacking player, no matter what, how unlucky you are, it's handball. So it'll be frustrating for Motherwell fans, obviously. I'd be gutted if we conceded it, especially when you're talking about a VAR check that takes, I think, 5-6 minutes, much as it did at Dens Park. It's the whole clear and obvious does not require that level of scrutiny for you to overturn it. And I think this has happened in England with Villa and West Ham today as well in the end of their game. So as far as like, spectacle as a viewing member of the public, then yeah, that's the part that we all find extremely frustrating. But as far as the decision itself, I mean, I tend to think that, yeah, it is what it is. And yeah, I get they'll be annoyed, but it's handball.
Like I said, I don't think either of them are handballs. Right? I don't think the McKenzie one is. I don't think the Bear one is. But at least I'm kind of sitting here going, well, they've applied the rule, the law consistently here. So fine, fuck it, we move on. If I'm a Motherwell fan, I'm absolutely raging about it in the same way that I was raging as an Aberdeen fan on Wednesday night that was given. But anyway, let's move on from VAR, because I feel like we spoke a lot about VAR already on the show this season. Credit to Leaving, I think. You know, the way we were set up on Saturday felt to me about as clean and kind of coherent a shape and a structure I've seen from us in quite some time. You could see that every single player seemed to know exactly what their role was in the team, and you could see that that helped certain players. I mean, there's in particular the midfield three of Shinny Barron and Clarkson, you know, Shinny and Barron in the double pivot, Clarkson playing ahead of them. They were clearly sitting in actual proper defined roles, because there's been at times this season when we've played that particular three in particular, they've almost been tripping over themselves in the centre of the park. On Saturday, each of them seemed to have a very clear defined role in the structure, Graham, and that helped us no end, I think.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I'm not always that aware or that bothered about the tactical side of the game. I think there's a lot you can accomplish with making the game easier for players and just, you know, like you do, like making it clear what their role is within the team. And I think that's a good example of it. It's not necessarily groundbreaking what he's doing in terms of the shape, and we've tried that before, but it's finding a way of getting through to the players as to what's expected of them, and then almost as that kind of unit so that they function together. And I think that's quite encouraging, obviously, that he seems to be able to get that through to players, because you'd hope over the next couple of weeks, you know, maybe some of our defensive concerns and deficiencies, if he can maybe just make the game a little easier or try and set us up to play to players' strengths rather than maybe expose their weaknesses, we might just be able to push on a little bit. So yeah, it's good to see, and I agree, it did make a big difference.
Graham, Gavin, sorry, what did you think? You think that ability from Leaving at least to maybe simplify things a little bit helped us out a lot on Saturday?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I think that. I think in part, when you talk about these players like tripping over themselves, and it's kind of not really mattered what combination of midfielders we've used this season in a lot of the games, especially in the Premiership, where, yeah, it's almost like they don't quite know what their job is, or like I personally don't think our players will want to be playing the football we've played by and large this season. And that has created some desperation at times. In fairness, and even though it's done what Graham's just mentioned there about perhaps highlighting weaknesses, I think our players have been very professional and carried out their manager's instructions, as frustrating as I imagine it would be to do so. But then when you have the manager come in and, you know, make the point of, you know, again, just let's get the ball down, play football, and this is what I expect from every individual, and this is your task, both in possession and out of possession, it's going to make the players, you know, to simply know what's expected of you is going to make your task so much easier, rather than, you know, you need to be something you're not, which is what we had to deal with for almost all of our midfielders and strikers all season.
Looking at the team a little bit more, Hoylett McGrath, I thought, you know, really working hard for the team as well. And Gav, you touched on it a little bit earlier on. Bojan Miłowski, I thought, looked a little bit more like himself. The last few weeks, I feel like he's kind of been struggling a little bit, whether that's just been due to the way that we've been playing, he's not been having chances coming towards him? Is it maybe the load of having to carry this team just starting to show on him a little bit? But he looked a little bit more like himself, I thought, on Saturday. Unlucky not to perhaps have a couple of goals himself.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great effort for the goal, which leaves the goal for Leighton Clarkson, that kind of turn and shoot in one motion and hit the post, and because, you know, Kelly's beaten all ends up. Like I said in my first comments, I have no concerns whatsoever about Bojan Miłoski. He's a guy that's, he's the absolute opposite of, like, say, David Bates, where one mistake and his shoulders would slump so much so that it was unbelievable to see. Miłoski will just keep going, and the goals will come because we know how good he is. Yeah, it was great to see him getting chances and looking a bit more like himself, because, yeah, in spite of the fact that Neil Warnock said he's the best striker he's ever had, he then knocked the fucking stuffing out of Bojan Miłoski, so it's good to see him back.
Yeah, no, absolutely. At the back, Graham, a big focus area for us all season so far, Devlin having to go off injured, which saw Jack Milne chucked into what was at that point a huge game, still 0-0 at that point, early enough into the game as well that it's not like as a sub he's been out up and down the line a lot at that point. I thought Milne handled the occasion pretty well, to be fair to him. Didn't put a foot wrong, performed well.
Yeah, it's probably pretty tricky to come into a game like that, maybe that age, with a lack of experience, we're not expecting to play, and then with the magnitude of the game. Although maybe, I don't know if he would, it's obviously not going to be the case that he's not aware of that, but maybe it's different when you're just starting out in your career. You maybe have that, it won't happen to us, or, you know, I don't know, it's maybe not your livelihood the same. I don't know if it's just you don't have the fears or the same maybe worries that some of the other guys do, but I thought he did really, really well, especially considering the magnitude of the game. So it's really, really encouraging to see, actually, because I suppose depending on how long Devlin's out for, albeit I guess we've got a wee while with a break, so he probably will be back. And we might need to see more of Milne over the remainder of the season.
I think it'll be good for Devlin to get a couple of weeks of just rest anyway. I think by all accounts, he's a guy, we talked on a few weeks ago about how many games he's played already this season, carrying an injury which he's been having to take painkilling injections for since, I think, after the Clyde game, I think was the date it came after. At least though, with Milne, it does look like we have a level of competent backup sitting in that area. It just would have been good if we'd seen a little bit more of it, perhaps early in the season where there was the opportunity presented, Gav.
Yeah, and the good thing is Shaden Morris is back in the fold as well, so we're even got a double cover.
Yes, that's true. Very good.
No,
yes.
I've liked Jack Milne every time I've seen him, and he's come into a number of difficult situations, whether it was debut in Helsinki. I think he played against Frankfurt, and we've needed him on a few occasions to come in and cover when Nicky Devlin's not been available. And you know, playing in a very unfamiliar position, and we all know about his career path, you know, centre midfielder. Jim Goodwin takes a look at him, converts him to a centre back, and then as he makes his way into the first team, we start him playing right wing back or right back. So I think he's been a credit to himself, and if we need to use him against County in the first game back after the international break, I've got no qualms with that.
There was one run in the second half he made, which was, he kind of actually cut inside and started driving towards the middle of goal from what would have been a centre midfield position. And I was a bit like, you still look like a centre midfielder. And there's a lot to like about that type of play from a central midfielder. And I do wonder if we've just been a bit hasty with this idea about he's a big physical lad, so we'll try and convert him to centre midfielder. Because I do think there's something there from a midfield perspective. I guess we'll wait and see what happens. At the moment, it's probably just try to get him into the team and see what happens. But I do feel a bit for him that I just, every time I watch him, I think there's definitely something in there that makes me think he could be a really good midfielder given the opportunity. But I guess we need to see where that one goes. On the other flank, Gav, you might want to take a seat for this one. Jack McKenzie had a good game. Although I will give you this, Gav highlighted it last week that it tended to be the case when you had a good performance from McKenzie, it tended to be followed up by perhaps a not so good performance. He wasn't the worst defender at Dens by any stretch of the imagination, but he did give away a penalty, his fourth concession of a penalty kick this season. But it's a huge block, the one he makes from Casey early in the game. It's you can't overstate, I don't think, how massive that block is, because with the fragility of this team's confidence right now, if we go 1-0 down after having started the game well, I hate to think what happens after that.
Yeah, well, the statistics out there about how bad we are as far as coming back from a goal down, isn't it? Only happened on a couple of occasions this season in the time that we've been doing the show. So, yeah, I mean, the travelling fan, a big travelling support again, that support, honestly. The team are so lucky to have them. You know, you could get toxic, players go into their shells, Motherwell have a spring in their step. And yeah, we are talking about that reality of Ross County being level in points with us in the league table. So yeah, everything that went our way in this game is massive and yeah, deserves credit. Although I think Kelder's had it covered.
There he is, Graham. You can never just quite get there, can he?
It's embarrassing.
It really is. It really is. Whilst we still looked a bit nervy, probably Gartman's best game in a while as well. Not difficult, a low bar to clear there, but he grew into the game, I thought. And maybe, Graham, football's a confidence game. We all know this. Football's a confidence game. Hopefully that clean sheet for the entire defensive unit, but in particularly Gartman, I think he's looked incredibly nervous since probably the League Cup final in particular. Hopefully that can just give him a little bit of a boost as we head into the big business end of the season.
Yeah, I hope so. But for all of them, like I said earlier, every week I can't decide if I want to see them again or blast them off to the sun. And he's one where some games I think this has been a reasonable loan signing. He looks competent. Other games just think, yikes. I do not want to see him again. So I'm not going to make a decision on this as the turning corner, but or turning point or other. But it must help them all because obviously, like, even in the periods where Miowski was scoring, we were still shipping a ton. So they'll know that if you looked at it from that point of view, they're not really doing their bit. You know, he's scoring goals and they're shipping them and we're dropping points. So I think they must be feeling a lot of pressure. So it's obviously good for that. I think in a way, it's maybe just a little bit disappointing that the international break has arrived when it has. I can't believe I'm saying that because a week or two ago, I was desperate for the Cup, so there was no more football. But
and then for the outbreak of another pandemic of some sort in the intervening period. Call it now.
But I feel like you, obviously, the other side of that, I suppose, for the guys that are still around, got a bit of time on the training pitch to try and work on, you know, people working in their little units and shape and tactics and stuff like that. But there's no better way to do it than in games. And it would have been nice to see what could have happened had we had another game, you know, and get the same guys together. Hopefully, like you say, they've built that a little bit of confidence. It's starting to become clearer for them what our current manager would like them to do on and off the ball.
It gives them two weeks to adapt to Jimmy Thielen's thoughts about how you play the game, I guess, is the other part as well.
Is Jimmy Thielen a pseudonym for Tommy Wright?
What? Which Tommy Wright are we talking about? You keep saying this in the group chats, but I can never say which Tommy Wright.
That's because he's keeping his options open so he can say, I told you it was Tommy Wright.
Our guy's out of the game now, isn't he?
He's a copper. It's never too late.
No, the Scottish Cup winning Tommy Wright, of course. Who else are we talking about?
I've no idea. Just for a minute, I just had a moment you were thinking about a former ex-striker of ours. Let's talk about quickly, because again, I'm wary of time pressures for young Gavlar here. Kelroos, right? Much maligned by us in recent weeks, and deservedly so, it's fair to say. I don't think, like, we're not being overly harsh about it.
And not only us.
Not only us, no. Although I do think you might have been the person, Gav, that has pointed out the penalty record and now loads of people have latched onto it, which again is not, you know, I'll tell you when you're telling lies and you're not, but I do think other people have latched onto it, which is always good. I genuinely think the performance on Wednesday night at Danes comes from the moment where Roos spills that shot in the opening minute. Like, you could just see our collective arses disappearing at that very moment. And you could just see, like, all the work you'd maybe done for a couple of days in the training ground just disappeared into the fucking ether because your keeper's nearly fucking thrown one into the net in the opening 30 seconds. But Roos, a couple of big saves to deny Nicholson in the first half. Double save as well from Bain in the second. Did all right. I just wish he'd catch the ball a bit more.
Listen, I'm, as people have gathered by now, I am no fan of Kelroos whatsoever, But the reality is that it seems that no matter how poor his form is, he will be the goalkeeper until the end of the season, barring injury and suspension. Ross Doohan is clearly so far out of the picture that it doesn't matter what Roos does or does not do. And we're going to need, we've seen how bad our defence is this season, and we're going to need a goalkeeper to come up with some big performances. And the biggest frustration about Kelleher is that we know he has it in the locker because we saw it last season. And yeah, hopefully a clean sheet gives him a little bit of confidence, a little bit more belief, and we can see the goalkeeper that you know he can be, but just hasn't shown enough.
Graham, good use of subs by leaving, I thought, on Saturday. Just as Motherwell looked like they were starting to get a bit of a foothold in the game late on, kind of starting to win that midfield battle a little bit, which they hadn't really been through the game. Took off Clarkson Hoylett, got some physicality in there in the form of Povara and Phillips. It was just nice to see kind of sensible decision making on the sub front for once.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Felt like probably the right players at the right time. And yeah, I think it's probably obviously proved to be correct with the fact that we managed to see the game out. So I think it's obviously a really difficult position for everyone, you know, the players and leaving him, and the whole thing's just a total mess. But for him to get drafted back in again, he seems to, you know, it's a really, really small sample size. You think the Celtic game, his first one, was a decent performance, actually, and a good result. Okay, Dundee was really, really disappointing. And then Saturday, but he seems to have quite quickly got that ability to, I think it must just be simplifying it or making it clear what he wants people to do. And again, you know, he obviously does seem to have an idea of how to go about this management arc, because that's, you know, the timing and the selection of the subs, I think, did work in our favour. And we've seen all too often, especially recently, no subs or late subs, or, you know, we're getting absolutely overrun.
And or you've too just, many subs.
Yeah, or too many subs. You know, we've been overrun and it's just like for like fresh legs. Why would that suddenly change the ebb and flow of a game when, you know, clearly we are outnumbered, usually in the midfield, for example, and you've just decided to change out, I don't know, put Duke on instead of someone else up top? It's not going to make a difference.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so far so good for me.
Gav, I guess we'll come to you here about this one, because on leaving, just like your thoughts on him, just in the way that he's handled himself being handed the reins once again, you know, reluctantly, I think, doing so, didn't want to do it the first time around. I think he feels a level of responsibility now to do it after the Warnock debacle. He's now collected the full set of results, a win, a draw, and a loss in the league. How do you think he's kind of handled himself since, you know, over the last week? Would he be someone as well that you'd want to see retained with any new coaching setup, or kind of do you subscribe to this idea about new man, new broom, everybody who was associated with the old regime just needs to be shown the door?
If you asked me that a week ago, the answer is very easy. I've been impressed with Peter Leaven in both his caretaker spells. The performance against Celtic I thought was very, very good, and we were unlucky not to get the win on that day. And, you know, Dundee is one thing. It's going to be difficult to pick the players up in such a short space of time with all the confusion going around as well. He's come in and put together a good performance and got us a very valuable win. And I think, like I said on Twitter, after you see the kind of end of game celebrations with Peter Leaven kind of giving the old fist bump to the supporters, it's got to make such a massive difference to the players to have a coach where they can see that, one, he has belief in them because he's very publicly saying he's got belief in them. And two, you can see how much the wins and losses mean to him. So been very, very impressed. If we're talking about a coach who's coming maybe from out with the UK, I think there's always merit in having some people in your coaching staff who know the league. That's something I think Postecoglou did very well when he kept the coaching staff at Celtic. But of course, it'll come down to, you know, what the new manager's prerogative is, if he wants to bring in all his own staff. Whatever happens, I'll be thankful for Peter Leaven for the way he's kind of steadied the ship when lesser people would have fallen by the wayside because he's come into two very difficult situations.
Yeah, Graham, I mean, like, a lot of people say it's easy just to thump the badge and give it a come on fucking yass to the support. But it felt like Leaven kind of was living it and breathing it a little bit. He's obviously been through the whole season as part of the coaching setup so far. He's a guy who's got no connection to Aberdeen Football Club at all. But it clearly meant a lot to him for us to get that win on Saturday. If that's how it bows out for Peter Leaven, certainly from an interim perspective, that's certainly the way to do it.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about that. It's possibly just sort of that release of pressure in the moment that we have got the 3 points. We absolutely had to get the 3 points. You may or may not have been aware of results elsewhere, but I guess, like you said, it doesn't really matter because we just need to keep doing our bit. Whether he's really, really buying into it or not, I don't think I'm too fussed. He got us the 3 points, and like you say, if that's the end of it for him, then, you know, he's got us the 3 points and keeps us a little bit ahead of the pack, or rather ahead of Ross County. The only thing I would say is if he's not to be retained, then come the summertime, I personally think we need to have some sort of plan B backup coaching experience within the club. We can't enter another season where basically if it doesn't work out with the manager, you're totally screwed and there is nobody within the club sort of infrastructure that is capable of taking a run of games. I mean, that's just negligent.
I do tend to agree with Gav's view about if the new man happens to be somebody who comes from outside of the Scottish game and doesn't understand it, or not that doesn't understand it, but just isn't used to it. It might be quite important for us to retain a level of that working knowledge about what the Scottish game's like. Not to say that they're going to be, you know, front and foremost with everything, but at least just to feed in those thoughts and impressions, even if it's little things like about, you know, a particular stadium might have a little quirk about it, you know, like the way that you play it for Park, maybe because of the way that the touch lines are brought in, you know, for example, or little quirks about particular grounds in Scotland. But a guy coming in, again, if it is from somebody from outside of Scotland, might not just be completely aware of from the word go.
And Tommy Wright knows all of this.
Tommy Wright does know all of this.
Lee Johnson knows all this.
Okay, well, anyway.
Jamie McAllister knows all about this as well.
Anyway, you tried to make a sensible point and you undermined you two fucking jokers. Never mind. Up to ninth, we managed to leap above St Johnstone after their defeat at Parkhead. That's it. Gav's thump in the air, kissing the badge.
Just call me Shady Momo.
It was obviously naturally disappointing that we weren't able to extend our gap to County. But I guess, Gav, you touched on earlier on, what the results of the weekend do mean is that there's now a group of four teams bunched up with ourselves, Motherwell, St Johnstone and Ross County, all now in danger of finishing up in that 11th spot. So if you can't pull yourself clear, then the better thing is to at least pull more people into the mix, I guess, Graham.
Yeah, because I was going to say, because we're now a point closer to 11th than we were.
No, we're not.
I thought Ross County...
Still 3 points.
Yeah, because we both teams drew and then we lost and then they won. Were they not closer than they were?
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
So you're spinning it like it's
from
great.
From midweek, yeah.
We're worse off than we were.
Okay, sorry. Yeah. Oh, yeah, we are, yes.
Over the course of the two games, yes, we are.
There are more teams in the shit, but we're still closer to the shit than we were.
Yes.
So yeah, it's great.
Then at the start of the week, then yes, we were. Okay, I'm not saying it's great. It's fucking hell, Graham.
I don't know what you want from me. We are...
If you're not going to get yourself clear, then it's better to at least have pulled more people into the mire, surely, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose so, because the danger is that...
Because now you've got a 1-4 chance of being...
Exactly.
The 11th and a 1-2.
Become cut adrift, or it becomes a bit of a two-horse race. You do want more people in there, but you'd like to be further ahead.
We got there eventually. Thank you. Cheers.
I'll just humour you so you can make your point.
Oh, we're just completely discounting the fact that Dundee are going to get massively sanctioned for having a pitch that can't take on a tiny bit of water.
What is the deal with that, honestly? That is shambolic. I don't understand how they've not been... Yeah, basically...
I loved every bit of this today because it's tin pot as fuck, like the Dundee pitch situation. Like, we can all agree about that. It's so ridiculous. It's not even funny. But what I also enjoy is the absolute seed that is brought from the Rangers side of things. So it's kind of like a win-win.
Oh, that's always great entertainment for sure. I mean, delighted with that. But I mean, I heard Tony Docker say the pitch was looking fantastic, and I watched our game on Wednesday, and that is not a word I would use.
Yeah, my first
I'm looking at the adjective, fantastic is not what I'm looking at when I describe the Dens Park pitch. So that's three games they've had, I think, called off because of the Waterloo pitch this season.
Four.
There was not a single game I'm aware of in Scotland that got called off anywhere besides Dens Park. So I'd be advocating for some major points deductions, please.
It would be amazing just to see Aberdeen once again. If we ended up somehow finishing 11th, but it turned out that Dundee got sanctioned, I don't know, just the right amount of points to see them finish 11th. I'm all for it. That's what happens when you're a big team. The rules get gerrymandered to keep you protected. I know. We would never have been in a playoff anyway because it was a round robin. It's fine. Don't worry about it. That's cool. Topped on quickly.
Sponsor's choice, Leighton Clarkson.
Okay. Graham.
Just on my Gav, Roos.
Oh, very good.
And he actually did have a very good game.
Yeah, he did all right. Just on my Gav, Jack McKenzie. I think that block is utterly crucial. I dread to think what happens if we go down there. So I'm going to get with the Jack McKenzie. And Gav is just absolutely seething.
Wouldn't that face. Happen? Roos would have turned around face. The post.
Roos was getting nowhere fucking near it.
Such little faith.
Right. A quick listener's corner.
Yep.
Okay, let's hit it. Who will we start with? Ian Taylor. Ian, despite the fact this is a win, still manages to sound depressed as fuck about the whole thing, but never mind. Let's see what Ian's got to say.
Holy fuck, boys. We actually won a fucking league game. And we also had a fucking clean sheet. The fuck's going on?
Yeah.
I'd like to know your thoughts on leaving. He's a very good coach, obviously, and knows how to set up a team structurally in the games that he's had with us, apart from Dundee, obviously. We've actually looked like a team that have been told that they know what they were actually meant to do.
It's quite novel when you think about
it. He's clearly a very good coach, and he asked players to do things that they're actually good at, not things that it's just completely alien to them. I mean, it's not rocket science, but it's taken like 3-4 managers. The last 3-4 managers haven't even been able to do that. And one of the first team coaches have been able to do that. The mind fucking boggles. So it's like Tony Ferguson leaving. To be honest, I wouldn't mind him getting the gig full time.
I wouldn't go that far.
Because he's shown that he's actually able to get something out of these players and able to actually set a team up correctly. And he's had that experience in Europe, so he's not like an under-18s coach. Cheers.
So I think I might have missed it. Did he say leaving or Levine?
He said leaving.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
Graham, are you leaving in? Leaving?
I think it's far too early for anything other than he rolls along week to week until we get something sorted. But what I would say is he does seem to be, it would appear to me that the players like and respond to him because, you know, I know he's not had that many games, but that's just how it looks because we looked, you know, even Saturday we looked more organised and people just seemed to understand what was required of them. I think it's too early to say, is he the guy or, you know, should he be the guy? I think we've made that mistake before, but what I would say is, if we can't find a place for him in the club, that seems like a bit of an oversight and feels like someone's going to benefit from him moving on if that's how it ends up.
I know I've said before that when we were hiring Warnock that I saw the merit in it and I thought it was too big a job to leave in Peter Leben's hands. But with hindsight
wrong,
being the wonderful
you?
Thing that it is, I'm convinced that with the approach to both tactics and man and management, we'd be in a much healthier position if Peter Leben was the interim manager. So he's done a great job, in my view, but I would not go so far to say that it's time to give him the Aberdeen gig.
Yeah, it's maybe just, I feel like we've seen that story before. Not all that long ago either. Let's check in with Jamie Buck and Big Bobby Soggy's Biscuits.
We won. Not really sure what I'm supposed to say or do now. Fucking not normal, is it? Get it so far up Stuart Kettlewell that VAR decision's tickling his fucking tonsils. Get it, ruin him.
Jamie's certainly an advocate, I think, for like Kettlewell board, Gav. I think he
Well, I think what he said, he wants Roaster Board to become a feature. Roaster Board.
Well, we can do that.
Stuart Kettle doesn't put me up nor down. So
weird really... haircut. Weird haircut.
It's, yeah, it's peculiar. That is true.
Carries himself with a lot of like aura for a man with the playing career that he had. That's all I'm going to say.
I mean, no one will top. Christ, what was his name again? McGee's assistant, Scott Leach. No Scott one will top Leach. Him. Now that's a fair. Roaster.
That is a roaster. Fair enough, Bob.
A great result, very lucky great result for us, but this is now fucking crunch time. We can't afford to be complacent when let fucking Ross County walk all over us in 2 weeks, because I mean Hearts losing to them is big, very big and very scary, but I think Leaving put them on the right track with his pep talks. I would very much not like to hear anyone say Leaving in, because we saw how well that happened last time. But if and when this new manager comes in, I'd like to see him getting these boys fucking playing properly. That'd be nice.
I feel really sorry for who it was. Bob was beating up in the background there.
Can someone tell me where I can go about finding Bob's Chop House?
Loves it. Loves the chops. Loves the chops. Anyway, Bob's not leaving in. I was distracted too much by the chopping, so I don't know what else what happened there. And then finally, Ewan.
Brilliant to get 3 points, especially with County winning against Hearts. Great to see the players also actually putting in, showing real determination to get the 3 points. I was impressed with all the back four, including Jack Milne when he came on. And if we'd been a wee bit more clinical, it could have been a good day.
It was a good day.
Good old VAR controversy as well. If it's going to happen to us, it should happen to everyone. So at least that's consistent. But yeah, delighted. Hopefully we'll build on it, because I don't think County are going to go away. It'd be great to drag all the other teams in with us. Yeah, 3 points. Brilliant.
There we go. Great stuff. I think we can have probably replicate a lot of that before anyway. Did we top down? So we're good. Let's move on from that then. Big win. Well done, lads. Get those feet up for a couple of weeks. We'll see for Ross County. Quickly on to Lone Watch. Kieran Aguena, Park Thistle, came off the bench with just injury time to go as Thistle finally picked up a win to beat Morton by 2-1 in the Championship. Alfie Babbage, he was missing for Kelty's 1-0 defeat by Cove after having played for the AFC Young team the night before in the Youth Cup semi-final. Finlay Marshall, Edinburgh City, similar to Babbage, didn't play as Edinburgh City's relegation from League One was confirmed by a 5-2 defeat by Alloa Athletic. Dylan Lobbin started and lasted to 65 minutes as Forfar drew 1-1 with Stenhouse Muir in League Two. Alfie Stewart at Peterhead, despite playing for the young team the night before, came off the bench as Peterhead drew a 1-1 with East Fife in League One. How fitting that Peter Pollitt would get a goal on the 10th anniversary of Parkred.
Insert the song here.
Absolutely. Into the Highland League, Aaron Reid and Adam Emsley for Martin. Starts for both, a hat-trick for Aaron Reid as for Martin beat Brora Rangers by 4-1 at Brora. Finlay Murray at Turra, another start for him as they beat Rothes by 3-1 in the Highland League. Kevin Hanratty, Tom Ritchie at Bucky Thistle. Tom Ritchie starting as 10-man Bucky scored a late equaliser at home to the Inverurie Locals. So get it right, fucking round Bucky. Up the chuff-chuffs. And that's Bucky's Highland League hopes probably shafted, except for the fact they have 23 games in hand as it stands at the moment. Who's got the worst pitch in Scottish football? Bucky Thistle or Dundee?
Dundee.
Graham has to say that on account of familial issues.
Well, also the fact that Dundee are claiming to be a top-flight club. I don't think it's unreasonable to expect their pitch to absorb some moisture.
Which makes it actually kind of funny that it's the Scott Foam Stadium, which I only discovered during midweek as well.
Yes. I don't know if there's... I can't really think of a quick foam-related joke.
I'll give you a couple minutes. So let's go with that. Brendan Hamilton, Banks of Dee, start again for them. Banks of Dee beat the Can-Cans by 4-0 in the Highland League. Gav, you were there.
I was.
decent afternoon at Spain Park.
Yep, good fun. Very good fun. Got a pile of coffee. Didn't need to take out a small one for it, so it was a nice little refreshing change.
How did Hamilton do? It's a left back coming through. You set up. Gav's got issues.
Very good on the ball. Good delivery from set pieces, especially when it was out wide with the in-swinging cross in. Sometimes could get caught on the ball. Thinking he had more time than he necessarily did. And he got hooked about the 16-minute mark. It was a bit of a strange game in that Banks won 4-0, but Forrest, for a large part of the game, like, had probably the better of it. But, you know, Banks just created more chances and ran away with it in the end. My take would be he didn't stand out as being a pro. I'll just say that.
Okay, there we go. Blair McKenzie at Huntley, another start for him. Huntley beating Wick Academy by 2-1 to continue their good form in the Highland League. Jaden Richardson at Colchester United. Out of the team, didn't come off the bench. Colchester drawing 1-1 with Walsall in League 2. Anthony Stewart at the MK Dons didn't make the squad once again. 3-1 win for the MK Dons against Crewe Alexandra in League 2. Vicente Bajewin started, was taken off before half-time as Emin beat Jong Utrecht in the Eerste Divisie. I'm presuming he was injured, otherwise he'd had a honking first half. And then Papi Habib-Gay started in a friendly match for Kristiansund against LFK. That was a 1-1 draw, not on the score sheet. Quickly on to the young team. Hugely impressive 7-2 win for the young team in their SFA Youth Cup semi-finalists, Ayr United on Friday evening. Doubles from Cammy Wilson and Finlay Marsh, and goals from Fletcher Boyd and Alfie Bavage on top of an own goal by McNally. Sees the Dons head to Hampden to take on Sevco Youth in the final, a first final for the young team since 2018. This side hoping to emulate those from 2001, 1985 and 1984 to bring the trophy back north. And then quickly on to the Quines. Their first game in the post-split for the SWPL won a 2-0 win at the Balmoral against the Spartans this afternoon. Goals from Bailey Hutchison in the first half before a late Hannah Stewart penalty, doubling the lead, keeping the Dandy Dons top of the bottom half. And I think, gents, it's been a long few weeks, let's be honest. So will that do us for this evening? Nice and concise. Not much else to say at the moment. I've got a funny feeling we might be back in the next couple of days with a mini, so happy enough with that.
I, too, have a very strong sense that we will be back imminently to discuss the appointment of the next, of the chosen one.
Is that Dave Cormack's definition of imminently, or is that the regular?
However long it takes to get the Kelly brothers over the line.
There we go. Graham, you good?
Yep.
That'll do us. That'll wrap up this week's episode of the ABZ Football Podcast. Thanks for joining us. Please remember to like, subscribe, follow, whatever you do in your podcast player of choice. If you'd like to share with a beer or coffee, head over to ko-fi.com/ABZ Football Podcast. Join us next time, possibly for a mini, possibly not. Might be episode 162, where we will look ahead to what will be a huge, huge date with Dross County on the 30th of March at Pataudry. Graham's going all corporate for that one. What's your record at corporate again, Graham?
I think it's mixed, if I was being kind.
Excellent. Lovely stuff.
I have the full set, I think.
Oh, you've got the full set. You're like Peter leaving. See you then. Stand free. This episode of the ABZ Football Podcast was brought to you in association with Siberia Bar and Hotel on Belmont Street, Aberdeen. Head into the bar, quote the phrase ABZ Pod, that's ABZ Pod, for a £3 pint of Foster's, £4 pint of Moretti or £5 pint of Fierce any day of the week, including match days. Siberia is open 7 days a week, all year round, and the bar is located only 30 seconds walk from the nearest bus stop, taking supporters to Pataudry Stadium for free on match days. Come on, you Reds.